Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. We hope this broadcast today is a very special blessing to you, and we are glad that you are tuned in again right here on WMAF every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pray that these broadcasts are inspirational, instructive. We pray they're just a blessing to you. If you're a Christian, you know the Lord, we pray that you will receive something of spiritual substance from these broadcasts that will cause you to grow spiritually and to have a better understanding of maybe of some of the great Bible themes. We particularly pray that if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, that you will stay tuned today and listen to what the Bible has to say about God's great love for you and His great plan of salvation. You can be saved today, amen, because Jesus went to the cross to pay the price in full for your salvation. And this is an important message that we're bringing you today. We're talking about simply faith in the blood of Jesus Christ and how to stand unafraid of the judgment to come, to know that you are saved, to know what the Bible says about God's requirements and how we can meet those requirements through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So we want this to be both a counsel and a comfort to you today. And we pray you will stay tuned. Don't forget, we have a Sunday afternoon broadcast from 12 into 1 right here on WMAF. A Sunday morning alive is just a portion of a live service in our church. And we would love to share that service with you on Sunday afternoon. If you're a shut-in, can't get out to a good church service, and we assure you there's wonderful television preachers. We're not trying to compete with anyone, but this radio broadcast is available to you, and we pray that you will tune in. And we also pray that and welcome for those that are listening by computer. We're grateful for you tuning back in. We know there's an audience that listens to this radio station, and there are some folks, I am sure, that listen to this broadcast as it streams by computer. Anyone on the World Wide Web can hear WMAF 24/7, and of course, they can listen to this broadcast and other fine gospel ministries right here, as well as some great retro music. Praise God. Classic country, classic gospel, classic preaching from this preacher. Hallelujah. I'm old school because there's really no new school. The Bible is just like Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you stay tuned, you'll be amazed how this ancient book, how contemporary it really is, because it will address all of the things that we face in our modern world, our postmodern culture and generation. So this is not some outdated book. This is an up-to-date book, and it tells us not only about our personal life and our personal needs and the great God who loves us, but it tells us about things to come. And one of these times we will get into some of the prophecies of Scripture that have come to pass, and some of the prophecies that are surely soon to come to pass, including the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But today we're talking about faith in the blood of Jesus. And I want to just read once again from the Scripture in Romans 3 and verse 25. It says, "Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation." Remember that word. You won't hear it used, probably not at all in our daily language, but it is an old English word and an old language word that is used much more so in days gone by. Propitiation. Listen to it again. "Whom God has set forth," speaking of Jesus, "to be a propitiation through faith in His blood." to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Now, we talked last week about this word propitiation, meaning appeasing someone's anger. And in order to understand what Christ's blood has done in our behalf at the cross, you have to understand something about the wrath of God. It's an unsavory subject, but it's vital that we understand what we've been saved from, not just what we're saved to. Thank God for heaven and the holy city, the New Jerusalem. Thank God for the gates carved out of a solid pearl and the foundation stones of precious stones. Oh, thank God for the river of life that flows in the midst of it and streets that are pure, transparent gold. What a place Jesus has prepared for us. What a place God has saved us to. But, oh, dear friend, what a place God has saved us from. And I'm so glad to be a Christian today. I'm glad to know where I stand because I know what the Bible declares about God's attitude toward those who receive Christ as their Savior. I have faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, and I stand bold in my standing in the Lord. Amen. The Bible said we're to come boldly before the throne of grace that we might obtain grace and mercy to help in the time of any need. We have access to God because we have been made acceptable in the Beloved. God accepts us in Christ, and His wrath has been appeased by what Jesus did at the cross. That's what propitiation means. Amen. So we have to understand wrath to understand what we have been saved from. And wrath is simply justifiable anger, as it is biblically presented and as it relates to God. It's not God being vengeful or malicious or just getting angry and wanting to judge someone. It's God bringing His righteous justice into focus and into play. And every one of us, if we got what we deserved, we would not have heaven as our home. We would end up in that place where judgment has set for everyone that doesn't know Christ. And we pray today that you will stay tuned as we go into this message. I want to tell you once again what Jonathan Edwards used to use, a great preacher of old, what he used to use to try to illustrate where we stand if we stand outside the grace of God. He used the picture of a spider hanging by one of its silver threads. Underneath it is a fire. At any moment, a spark or the heat could sever the thread and the spider could end up falling into the flames. And then he said, you and I, dear people, are hanging by a thread. We're dangling above the flames of hell. And at any moment, the thread could break and we would end up falling into hell's eternal flames. Ah, no wonder they labeled him a fire and brimstone preacher. But then he would tell people about the wonderful plan of salvation, about the blood that Jesus shed upon the old rugged cross, and about how much God loved them and how it wasn't His will that any perish, but that all have eternal life. Amen. I want you to know God doesn't want anyone to have to be punished with the flames of hell. He wants everyone to be saved. That's why when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. And for God so loved the world, John's gospel said that He gave His only begotten Son. And this is for you and I today, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish, but would have eternal life. Well, he would counter the certainty of judgment with the certainty of forgiveness and reconciliation through the blood of Jesus Christ. And here's the question I want to ask today. Was Edwards off track? Was he one of those Bible-thumping, fire-and-brimstone preachers? Did he read from the same Bible? More importantly, did he preach from it accurately? Was he telling the truth in that illustration about people that don't know Jesus? Well, let's see what Jesus had to say in John's Gospel, chapter 3, and verse 36. Jesus said, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Again, that word is justifiable anger. A holy God has not only the prerogative, he has the right and the responsibility to, in order to be a just and righteous God, to judge that is wrong. And that's why his wrath is kindled against our sins. Here's the good news. It's not kindled against sinners. He wants sinners like you and me to be saved. And that's why he sent his Son. And that's why Jesus came. And that's why he went to the cross. I said it before. I can't hardly say it enough. I'm going to keep on saying it. Rome didn't put him on that cross. They didn't. There was authorization through Caesar with Rome's backing. But it wasn't Rome. It wasn't the high priest and even the people in the crowd who cried, "Crucify him." It wasn't the soldiers who drove the nails through his precious hands and feet. Jesus went willingly. As a lamb dumb before his shearers, he opened not his mouth. It wasn't just that he didn't cry out for mercy. It is that he didn't cry out for justice for us. He didn't cry for God to destroy this hateful, sinful old world and all the people in it. He cried another cry on that cross. He cried, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And he did it while shedding his own precious blood. And that blood, according to the scripture I just read you from Romans, appeased the wrath of God. God's heart absolutely opened up to receive all who would believe on his Son. But if we don't believe, then the wrath of God, the justifiable anger, abides on us. And in Paul talked about that in Romans 1 in verse 18. He said, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." And then in Romans 2 in verse 5, "But after thy hardness and impotent heart treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render unto every man according to his deeds." In other words, if we don't know Christ as our Savior, we'll have to stand and give an account to God for all that we have done. That is, every man his wrath abides on. Aren't you glad that you have the Son if you're a Christian? That you have life? Honey, it's time to put on your shouting shoes. I say it again today. Jesus' blood has satisfied God's justice, appeased his wrath. Our sins were judged in him. Our offenses were nailed to his cross. Amen. In Luke 3 and verse 6, John the Baptist asked, "Who hath warned you to flee the wrath to come?" The term wrath of the Lamb that we'll read about in just a moment seems like a paradox. The Savior who sacrificed himself, rejected now, is the judge. And he is not only the judge, but he is the one that condemns all sin. Amen. Let me read this from the book of Revelation, chapter 6, verse 12 through 17. "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as a sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it's rolled up together, and every mountain and every island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men And the mighty men and the chief captains and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said unto the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Oh, friend, what an awful picture of judgment to come. Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica about this wrath to come. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9. And you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Ah, friend of mine, salvation from an angry God comes only by means of propitiation. Oh, to be saved, God's anger against sin and the sinner needs to be appeased. It needs to be pacified. And here's the great news today. In light of all that I have read, Christ's blood shed for us on the cross atoned for our sin, appeased God's wrath, satisfied God's justice, and praise God, has set us free. Amen. I love what Romans 5:9 says. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen to me today. You know, we don't hear too much about the wrath of God, and maybe that's why we don't really appreciate like we should the grace of God. It's not just what we're saved to, it's what we're saved from that gives us such great reason to praise him, love him, serve him. I'm so proud of my Savior and my Master, Jesus Christ. I'm so glad to be his servant and his friend. And I'm glad to have his blood atone for me. His blood pay my sin debt in full. His blood, hallelujah. That's the message today. It's faith in his blood. And if we believe what God says about the blood of Jesus, it can be applied to our own life and our soul by believing on Christ as our personal Savior. I don't really have faith in my own righteousness, but I have faith in his shed blood. I don't have faith in my denominational affiliation. We're affiliated since 1974 with Independent Assemblies of God International, headquartered in San Diego, California. And I am confident in their standards, but my faith is not in my denominational affiliation. There won't be Baptist and Methodist dropping their denominational titles to get in the gates of pearl. There's going to be Christians who have been washed in the blood of Jesus. It won't be Church of Christ or Nazarene or Pentecostal or Charismatic. It's going to be those who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. I honor wonderful ministers of the gospel, but they said that in the New Testament, in the ancient days, in the early days of the church, they said, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. No, honey, it's not Paul, it's not Apollos Paul preached. Amen, but it's God who gives the increase. Hallelujah. And it's Jesus who shed his blood. And my faith is in the blood of Jesus Christ. I have faith in his blood. I don't have faith in an earthly priest or preacher. But my great high priest who shed his own blood for me. Because Christ's blood justifies us, we're going to be saved from wrath through him. That is the message of propitiation. Can't appreciate that message. Can't really understand that message in full unless you understand that to not be saved, to not trust Christ as our Savior, to not repent of our sins, then God, who is a just and righteous God, has only one alternative, and that is to judge our sins. He's holy, and His righteous indignation rises up, and we're under His consternation. We're under His justice. We're under His justifiable anger, His wrath. But thank God, through the blood of Jesus, we are saved from wrath through Him. Maybe you've heard that term, if you're not a Christian, saved, and you're wondering, what are you talking about? What does that really mean, saved? It means that we have received Jesus Christ as our Savior, and His blood has appeased God's anger, and God can love us freely. And by the way, He loves us while we're yet sinners. He has to. He's obligated by His own holy and righteous standards and His own character of holiness to judge all sin. But He judged that sin in His Son so He could save us. So I don't want you to get the impression that God desires our destruction because we have sinned. No, He desires our instruction that will lead us to salvation. That's why we're on the air today. If you're a Christian today, I want you to cheer up today. I don't know what kind of week you've had, what kind of month, what kind of year, what kind of life you had. But I'm telling you, if you're saved today, amen, all this world's going to pass. All the heartaches of it, setbacks of it, circumstances of it, it's going to pass away. Weeping lasts for a night, joy comes in the morning. And this morning that's going to dawn upon us as Christians is an eternal day that's coming. Hallelujah. And I'm so grateful today, amen, to be saved from wrath through Jesus Christ. In the marketplace, true story of Rotterdam, Holland, stood for many years an old corner house known as the House of a Thousand Terrors. In the 16th century, King Philip II of Spain ruled Holland. The city of Rotterdam revolted against his tyrannical rule. King Philip said, and I quote, "I'm not going to put up with that." And he sent the Duke of Alba with a vast army to go and reconquer Rotterdam, Holland. Rotterdam put up quite a fight, but eventually capitulated to the siege. And when the victors walked in, they were not pleased with Rotterdam. They went door to door killing men, women, and children in their homes. It was a great slaughter. In one home, a family was huddled in a corner with some of their friends and relatives. They could hear the bloodshed coming down the street, the screams, the soldiers coming and killing their neighbors. Later, the house was called the House of a Thousand Terrors because a thousand terrors gripped their hearts. But one young man stepped out from his fear for a moment with an inspired idea. He went behind the house and grabbed the goat and pulled it into the living room. And there by the front door of the house, he slaughtered that goat. Then he took a broom and swept the goat's blood under the door onto the front steps. The soldiers came and pounded on the door, tried to beat it down, no answer. One soldier said, "Look, there's blood under the door. The work has already been done here." I want to tell you something today, friend. When the Lord, our great God, sees the blood of Jesus, He declares, "The work has already been done here. The sin debt is paid in full." Oh, I'm glad to be a Christian today. And oh, how wonderful it is to know that God has given us this great gift, this great privilege, this wonderful, unspeakable gift of His only begotten Son to take our place on the cross. So many of the old hymns of the church celebrate and proclaim the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. One of them that I love particularly is, "Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?" And it says, "Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And I guess that's the question we're asking today as we near the end of this broadcast. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? God is trying to tell us that our current popular version of Christianity, comfortable, humorous, superficial, entertaining, worldly wise, is exposed for the irreverent presentation of the gospel of Christ that it really is. A preacher's commission to give people not what they want, but what they need. No man has any business walking into the pulpit to entertain. He is there to present Calvary in all of its fullness of hope and glory. It is said that Gandhi once asked some Christian missionaries, because he really took interest in the Christian faith, and he asked some Christian missionaries to sing him a song. They asked which song he would like to hear. He answered, "The one that expresses all that is deepest in your faith." After briefly consulting with one another, they sang, "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Because God is just, He cannot overlook human sin. Being holy and just, God must declare and punish guilt and sin. The Bible tells us that God never clears the guilty. In Exodus 34:7, He never pronounces guilty people to be innocent. God also declares that sin must be paid for. Sin must be punished. The gospel tells us that either the sinner pays for his sin or Christ pays for his sin. Either I pay for my sin by spending eternity in hell, or Christ has paid for my sin by going the way of the cross and the grave. And of course, I can never pay off my sin debt. I can never get rid of the guilt. I actually increase my debt and guilt every day, so even though I spend eternity in hell, I could never be there long enough to appease God's wrath against my sin. Christ is able to do what I cannot. Hallelujah. His sacrifice offered upon the cross does pay the debt and guilt of sin. His sacrifice offered upon the cross does appease God's wrath. This doesn't mean I'm suddenly innocent and pure and righteous. This doesn't mean I'm cleared of my sin. It does mean that because of Christ, God treats me as if I'm innocent and pure and righteous. God is both just and justifier. Sin is punished in Jesus Christ. God's wrath is propitiated. Oh, friend of mine, what a wonderful gift we have in God's only begotten Son. And what a wonderful gift He gave us when He gave us Himself as a sacrificed lamb to bleed and die on an old rugged cross, so He could save you and so He could save me from God's wrath. Ah, what love God has for sinners just like you and just like me, who have come to the cross and have put our trust in the finished work that took place on that cross, nothing less than the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, friend of mine, there is a heaven to gain. There is a hell to shun. But not one person needs to go to that awful place. Not one person needs to be lost. Not one person needs to experience the wrath of God. God loved us so much and wanted so much for us to avoid that great day of judgment that He sent us, you and me, His only begotten Son, to take our place, take our punishment, appease His wrath, so that He could embrace us, love us, accept us, and take us to heaven when we die. If you don't know Him today, would you open your heart in these closing seconds? Repent of your sin and ask Jesus to be your Savior. Do it right now. The hour is late and time is passing. And if you're a Christian today, you stand strong and bold in the finished work of Jesus. Hallelujah. and rejoice and celebrate this Sunday in church for what you have been saved to and from. Come back next week, will you? Let's talk about Jesus.